Okay, page 1048. Okay, we finished about the three beginning parts of the parsha. The guy falls in love with this woman at the time of war. Then he ends up having two wives, one he likes, one he hates. Firstborn is to the one that he hates. Nevertheless, the firstborn gets double. And then it says about the Ben Seder, the murdered rebellious son. You kill him innocent before he's going to commit the crimes that he's going to be killed for. Okay, now, this is a very interesting. By the way, these next few psukim is the source of Jewish burial, and that a burial has to be ASAP as soon as possible. Okay, it says like this. V'chiyah bi'ish, if a man will have committed a sin, mishpat maves, that deserves capital punishment, v'salisa eisei aleitzi, you have to hang him on a tree. The din was that if somebody did a sin that gets capital punishment, so there's a positive mitzvah after Bezdin kills him, like with Skila or something like that. So then they have to hang him up on a tree. Okay? The purpose of the mitzvah is to publicize the fact that the person is hanging, and people are going to say, why is this person hanging? So then they're going to know, because he committed a sin of capital punishment, and that will cause them to stop sinning. So the way it worked is like this. Before, like we said, Bezdin has to make the decision of capital punishment. In fact, with this we learned a lot in the Gemara Sanhedrin. This is very different than it is in the secular system. In the secular system, you have what's called death row. You know, they rule that you're going to get the death penalty. From that time until you die, it could be about 50 years. You die anyway of old age. That's usually what happens. And the taxpayers are paying all the money. In Torah law, it's called cruel torture. In Torah law, somebody that was given capital punishment had to be killed the day the court made the decision. The din was like we learned in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Anytime there was capital punishment, so if they knew right away innocent, they proclaimed innocent. If they thought the guy would be guilty, or some people are saying guilty and innocent, whatever, they had to sleep on it. Okay, Bezdin was not allowed to make a ruling for capital punishment the same day they heard the case. They have to sleep on it, think about it. The next day they come to Bezdin, they debate it again, and if there's a majority of two that rule that he's guilty, then Bezdin kills him. But they killed him a little bit before sundown. Then they put the stick in the ground, a tall stick, and they hang him on it for a few seconds. Then they undo it, and as we'll soon see, the din is, we'll discuss soon the dinim, you have to bury the pole that he hung on together with the person, not in the same grave, but next to the grave. You can't use that stick for anybody else, and therefore we'll see they couldn't hang him on a tree. It actually was not on a tree. It was actually a tree that was cut. Therefore, it can't be mechubar, and that's what it means, cover. Okay, we didn't get there yet. But anyway, the Torah says, we're going to read these two psukim. There's a lot to discuss over here. Okay, so it says like this. If a man will have a sin that gets capital punishment, behumas and bezin kills him, vasilisa eiseleitz, you have to hang him on a tree. And then it says like this. You're not allowed to let it sleep overnight on the tree. Because you need to bury him that day. Because, like he says in the English, hanging a person is a curse of God. There's two things of this. Number one, it's like, it's degrading to Hashem. You see, people didn't listen to you, and they're going to get killed, and they're hanging on the tree because they didn't listen to you. So basically, it becomes public knowledge that people are not listening to God. So that's not nice for Hashem. And then Rashi says another thing, that a person is created in the image of God. And therefore, when a person hangs, it's like God hangs. And Rashi gives a mashal from the Medrash, that two brothers that were twins, twin brothers that looked identical. One became an officer, and one became a robber. When they finally catch the robber, because they're identical twins, and they're going to hang up the robber on the tree, so it looks like the officer, the king, was killed. So it's not nice. So that's what it says. So therefore the Torah says, you cannot hang him overnight, you hang him mamish for a few minutes, just that people should know a person was hung, but you don't keep him overnight. Not to impurify the land, and we'll soon see what that means, that God gives you as an inheritance. Okay? So, by the way, this is the source. You know, by Yiddishkeit, you try to bury the person the same day, not to leave a body overnight. This is all from this pasuk. Covered to Geberanu Bayemahu. This is the source and state of burial, by the way. The Torah says, 1048. The Torah says, a person should be buried on the day they die. Now, if it's impossible, it's a different story. But Lamashin Yerushalayim, or even in Eretz Yisrael for that matter, Yerushalayim Bechlal, there's a halacha in the Mishnah, you're not allowed to leave a dead body overnight in Yerushalayim. So in Yerushalayim, if somebody dies, they take them right away to burial.
Night also they do.
Night they do burials. Or Bechlal, all of Eretz Yisrael, they do burials at night. Here you can, because the cemetery is closed at 5 o'clock.
Is the reason, or they shouldn't do that? That's the reason.
No, who shouldn't do it?
This, if the cemetery is open, you can do it at night? Yeah?
In New York, in Williamsburg, and those places, they're levayus at night. Mm-hmm. Any time of the night, there's funerals. It's their personal funeral. It's not another cemetery that somebody else owns that they close at 5 o'clock. Yeah, because the pasuk is covered kibran by Yemahu. You're supposed to bury the person that day. What?
This refers only to a Jew?
Yeah. Well, there's a din. It's interesting. People ask, are you allowed to cremate a goy? So if you look up, in fact, online, they have a whole thing about this cremation for goyim. They all write, all the poskim I saw write, not too many poskim talk about it, Bechlau, because talk a lot about goyim, let the goyim do what they want. But they basically write that it's inappropriate to do cremation for a goy. It's not as bad as it is for a Jew. The Torah says you have to be buried. We're going to soon see the reasons why you need to be buried. A person that's cremated loses their rights to tchias ha-meisim. There's no kaddish, there's no yard site, there's no shiva, there's no mourning whatsoever. That's actual halacha. Some people want to be lenient today. They didn't know. It's like tinnik shenish, but you know, they don't know anything about it. But not everybody agrees with that. But just in halach itself, a person who willed to be cremated, there's no shiva, there's no kaddish, there's no yartzeit, there's nothing. That's it. Mamish nothing. As if they...
Jewish people do that these days.
Well, cremation. Yeah. I know that, so it's a very big problem. Because that's basically a denial of the concept, the whole concept of tchias ha-meisim. Like this, there's the loose bone, and there's going to be tchias ha-meisim from. We'll see it when we get into the details. But the sooner you bury somebody, in fact, all the mafarshim ask, Yaakov Avinu took 70 days until they buried him. They did the chanita, the embalming for 30 days, and they mourned him for 40 days. By the time they got to Maaseh Machpelah, but they wrote over there was no choice. It couldn't do it.
Rabbeinu, what about when they bury the ashes? Does that count?
Of cremation? Yeah, but you're not allowed to bury it in the Jewish cemetery. You have to bury it. Somebody called me about that today, in fact.
Yeah.
They have ashes. They have to bury it in their backyard. They can bury it somewhere because of tumah, but you don't bury them in the Jewish cemetery.
How come?
But it still doesn't get that kaddish or nothing.
Right? No.
How come 17 days without the... burying it is not a problem.
Who? Yeah. 70 days.
70 days, yeah.
We'll soon see the Mepharshim talk about this, but let's just first see what the pasuk says here. Now it's interesting, when the Ramak died, Ramak was a Meshur Kordovero, the big Mekubal in the time of Darizal. So when he died, Darizal made a hespit for him. And Darizal quoted this pasuk. It's a very interesting pasuk. V'chiya bi'ish, he says, if it will happen to a man, Chait, we learned many times, chait means a sin, but chait also comes from the word lacking, chisorin. There's a pasuk in Tanakh that says, Batsheva says, V'hoya ani ubni shlomo ha-malach, shlomo chatoim kol ha-yomim. Me and Shlomo are going to be missing. when the, you know, Avshalom took over and they didn't call Batsheva, which Shlomo Melech. So it's a good enough Torah. So it says, Batsheva said to David, V'hoya ani ubni Shlomo chatoim, doesn't mean sinners, it means we're going to be missing. In fact, that's when the Pasuk says, Ein tzadik ba'aretz, asher yaseh tov lo yechta. The Pasuk says that there's no such thing as a tzadik that never, simply mean never sinned. But the Mefarshim explained that's not what the Pasuk means, because tzadikim by definition are so great, they have no yetar, they don't sin. What it means, Ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yechta, means it won't be lacking something. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the greatest, he says, "Vatechasre entilim." There's a pasuk, "Vatechasreyu ma'at melikim." He was missing a little bit from God. He only reached the 49th level of the 50 levels of Bina. He only reached the 49th level. So chait actually means missing, lacking.
Not mean sin.
It doesn't only mean sin. In the English, it defines as sin. Usually we say, chotanu, I sin. But really, chet also comes in with lacking. So he says like this, v'chiya b'ish, for being a man, chet, the lacking of mishpat mavis, of why he should die. In other words, the Jew is so perfect, there's no reason why he should die. Like the Arizal was saying about the Ramesh Kodavel, the Ramak, he was so great, he wasn't worthy of dying. Bahumas, yet he died. He wasn't supposed to die, yet he died. So he says, the Salisa Eisel Eitz, you should hang it, meaning dependent, on the Eitz Hadas. The only reason he died, because God decreed death in the world by the Eitz Hadas. In fact, the Gemara says, Mar Basra, there were four tzaddikim that only died be'itir shel nochash, because of the snake. If it wouldn't be for the snake, that means the chet eitz hadas that God decreed that everybody's going to die, these four people weren't going to die. One, Binyamin, Yishai, forgot the other two, Sigmar and Barbasa. That these people only died because Hashem said there has to be. They were so great, they shouldn't have died on their own. The only reason the Gemara said they died because God said, because of the nochash and the chet eitz hadas, that they died. So the Arizal said the same thing with Ramesh Kodavero. V'chiya b'ish. When this man will have the lacking of Mishpat Mavis, because he really didn't deserve to die. Because he's such a great tzaddik. Yet v'humas he died. So what do you, why? So he says, say it happened because of the eights, because of the eights adas, because Hashem decreed death into the world. Okay, so it says like this. A person has to be hung, okay, but it has to be taken on before nightfall, okay? So therefore, the Gemara says, Bezdin, whenever they made a death sentence, they killed the guy right before sunset, they hung him on a tree for a few minutes, and before nightfall, they already took him off the tree, because he's in the image of God. And the Torah says, you're not allowed to hang him overnight, he has to be buried on that day, Ki kill us alakim toli, because you're hanging, like we said before, in the image of God. V'leisa tamis ad mascha, you shouldn't impurify the land. We'll see all this in a second, what all this means. Shem el kechon neisen l'chon nachla. Okay?
If the image of the God, if you hang it, is what's different between 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 2 hours, 3 hours? What's the difference?
Because the longer you hang it, more people will see it. Like this, it has to be the hanging, because he did something wrong and people need to know about it. But you don't want to keep him on, that people should start looking at it and staring at it and analyzing it. So you take it down right away. Okay, so number one, there's a mitzvah for a Jew to be buried. Okay? Even if there's no relatives, then it's called what's called mes mitzvah. You know, God forbid somebody dies and there's no relatives, or you find a dead body somewhere, you don't even know who the relatives are. So the din is, it's called mes mitzvah, and it has to be completely buried. I mean, if you leave a dead body overnight, then you're transgressing the concept of, in the addition, it says, karva tikverena bayemahu. So there's two things. There's a positive mitzvah, the Torah says, bury them on that day, And then the Torah also says, don't hang it overnight. Mm-hmm. So it's a positive mitzvah and a negative mitzvah. But he says, what happens if the government says, then you got no choice. Okay, now, there's a bunch of reasons, okay, why a person needs to be buried. Why can't you just leave him there? I mean, so number one, it says that it's disrespectful to the person, because when you lay on the ground, it's shameful. Second one, you shouldn't impurify the air. You push it, you know, there's a lot of germs and things. For respect to the parents, that the person should be buried, you know, together with the parents in that area. And the main thing is, and this is the main reason, as everybody knows, the Torah says at the beginning of Chumash, offer ato, vel offer toshuv. You come from dirt, you have to go back to dirt. If I can, it's interesting, according to Halacha, a person needs to decompose in the body, in the ground. That's why you're supposed to have wooden caskets instead of metal caskets. Metal doesn't let the decay of the body happen. So it has to be the decay of the body. That it's all part of the concept of you started off from dirt and you have to return to dirt. You have to return back to earth.
So the right thing is that to be decayed.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, believe it or not.
And how come that there are like some tzaddikim that they don't decay?
Right, because that's their greatness, but regular people have to decay. Because their body wasn't what it should be, but the tzaddikim, their body was perfect. Ridiculous. They tell stories about tzaddikim, they buried many, many years afterwards, and they were mamish intact.
Right. The death sentence is not existing.
And by the way, I want you to know that until, and the people always say it, but this is what Taita says. After the person is buried, that's when the neshama comes to rest.
After you go underground.
Yeah.
That's true.
In fact, he asked, by the way, about Avraham Avinu. So here he answers that if they're buried in a coffin, it's not the same din. Okay, but Lapel, even, first of all, it's only in America they're burying coffin. Even not in America, they don't either.
Iran, we didn't do that.
In Eretz Yisrael, there's no such thing as coffins. No, in Israel, there's no such thing as coffins. When somebody, God forbid, passes away, they take them out, mamash, in a stretcher. The body, it's all covered in a talus. If it's a man, I mean a woman, they're covered in a talus, and they bury him in the ground as is. Here in America, depends where, which cemetery, how legal or illegal you do things, but even in New York, or in a few cemeteries here also, they make a coffin that the bottom opens up. And then the body is actually on the ground. And then they just put the coffin over the body. Years ago, they would have to take the body when nobody was looking. You know, they send away the... And they put the body directly in the ground.
And put the coffin in.
See, today, it's not really even, you know, today in L.A., they have, you know, the cement casings.
Yeah,
that you have to put in a cement casing, and then, but first of all, the cement casing has holes at the bottom, if you ever notice. And secondly, it's not a very big problem at all, because cement is earth. Cement is earth. Halachically, it's earth. So the person buried in the ground anyway. But I'm saying, in the real way of doing, like they do in Eretz Yisrael or in different places in New York or in LA also, they put the body directly onto the ground. And that's the ultimate respect. To be buried that way.
So then, if a person is held a few days, the neshama is not
at rest yet. Yeah. But it says in Halacha that if, I don't get too morbid about this stuff, but it says in Halacha, if you're keeping them overnight out of respect for the deceased, for instance, there are children that want to come. But I'll give you a little secret. Now, just so, or in the very from places in New York, they will only wait for sons, not for daughters. And they'll only wait for the sons because they have to say Kaddish at the funeral. So sometimes they'll wait, I mean, it depends who the rabbi is, how much they, but they're like, for cousins and uncles and that, I mean, just push it. A Jew has to be buried ASAP because it, like you said, the neshama doesn't come to rest until the body is buried in the ground. Even Me'amleya says the same thing. Kolzman shaguf le nikvar tzad adavel neshama, and the Ruach Tumah, the impure spirit, comes on the body to impurify it. And that's why he says, you don't even leave it overnight, because nighttime there's more Tumah than daytime. You know, it's the more power of the evil. So no, that's why, obviously, if you can't do it, you can't do it. But I'm saying, a person should not push off a funeral for whatever reason. We do everything possible. Even if it's late on Friday, people do the levaya even walking back from the cemetery. Even if that means walking back from the cemetery, they'll do it because then you have to wait on after Shabbos and, you know.
Do they do that Shabbos?
No, Shabbos you can bury. What's interesting though, the first day Yom Tov, it's not done in America, but in Israel it's done, the from like the Williamsburg, those guys, the first day Yom Tov, a Jew can be buried by a Goy. Second day Yom Tov by a Jew. Because it's only rabbinic second day Yom Tov. So you could bury a Jew. Today it's not done in Halacha. Because when the person was allowed to be buried on Yom Tov, nobody else was allowed to desecrate Shabbat, just the people actually burying them. I mean, not Shabbat, it's Yom Tov. But here where people drive and there's Chil Yom Tov, so it's disrespectful for the deceased that people are desecrating Shabbos because of, or Yom Tov for me, because of the funeral. So then they would push, today in America as a rule, except like we said, Williamsburg where they have their own places or whatever, they don't bury on Yom Tov. Even the second day Yom Tov they don't bury.
That sentence is not...
In fact, one second, it's interesting, but that better... The Rebbe's father, Reb Levick, once was at the Rebbe Rashab, and he said, it's interesting because the Baal Shem Tov passed away on the first day Shavuos. So I don't know if he was buried the first day, but he says it comes out, the Baal Shem Tov was buried the first day through a guy. So he said, isn't it remarkable? So the Rebbe answered that Baal Shem buried himself, whatever it is. But it's interesting, the Baal Shem Tov who died, passed away the first day of Shavuos, according to Halacha, probably was buried the first day of Shavuos through a guy.
Well, did you say he buried himself?
Yeah. Whatever. Don't ask me what it means. Let me say what he said.
Fantastic.
Who covered a satsme. It's brought down by certain tzaddikim, it says, who covered a satsme. By the way, there's another thing. He brings down an interesting medrash. There's a medrash. When Shlomo HaMelech wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash, he sent to Pari Neche in Egypt. He said, they had good craftsmen in Egypt. So he said, I want you to send me craftsmen to help me build the Beis HaMikdash. So what did Pari Neche do? He spoke to his stargazers, and he said, give me a list of people that you see in the stars that are going to die this year. And I want them to go build the temple for the Jews. So he sends these people to Shlomo HaMelech. This is what the Medrash says. Because Shabbat Etzel Shlomo, when they came to Shlomo HaMelech, Tzofa Baruch HaKedesh, Shlomo HaMelech saw they're going to die this year. And he didn't want them building the Beis HaMikdash. The guys are dying this year. What did he do? He gave them all the shrouds. All the people Paro sent to him, he gave them the tachrichim, the shrouds. And he says... Here, these are for what you guys are going to need for yourself. Go back. So he says like this. Well, so the Mefarshim explain of the, what does the Medrash mean? Pari says to Shlomo HaMelech, why are you building the Beis HaMikdash if it's going to get destroyed anyway? So he said, why are you building the Beis HaMikdash if it's going to get destroyed anyway? So Shlomo HaMelech answered and just like that people are alive, but they could die because they're going to come back by Tchias HaMeisim. The same thing, the Beis HaMikdash will come back. So that's... According to many opinions, there's an inyan to be buried in Israel. Because Tchias HaMeisim, the dead getting up, is going to happen in Israel. So it says like this, how are the dead people from Chutz Loretz going to get to Eretz Yisrael to do Tchias HaMeisim? So it says like this, Tzaddikim, Hashem is making them underground tunnels. They're going to go painlessly to Eretz Yisrael and get up. Normal people, They're going to go through Tsar of going traveling under the ground. They're going to travel under the ground to Eretz Yisrael, but everybody gets up in Eretz Yisrael. That's the reason why a lot of people want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. By the way, just another thing while we're on this morbid topic, which is another interesting thing which shows the beauty in the burial system. In Torah Rabbi Gamliel Zokin, people were buried in their clothes. You know the shrouds that we have today? That everybody gets buried in white shrouds? Mm. That was from Rabbi Gamliel. In Torah Rabbi Gamliel, people got buried in their clothes. So the rich got buried in rich clothing, and the poor got buried in poor clothing. And the Gamliel said, you know what? It's an embarrassment for the poor people. So we're going to make everybody equal. And he said, and this is it. You're not allowed to do it any other way. You know, by the Goyim Lahavdo, they dress them up in the suits, and they look beautiful with the tie, exactly, everything gorgeous.
Makeup also.
Makeup, of course. Big business. You can. According to Torah law, a person, every Jew, no matter who is, a rich, poor, holy, simple, everybody has to be buried in tachrichim, in shrouds. And they also bury in the talus. Another, and the men are buried in the talus, but they cut off a corner of the talus.
One corner of it, or all corners?
No, one corner.
Why?
Because dead people don't do mitzvahs. And in fact, you know, God forbid, when somebody goes to a cemetery, if your tzitzis are out, you have to tuck them in. You're not allowed to daven in the cemetery. You're not allowed to do mitzvahs in the cemetery. And the Gemara says, it's what's called loyeg lurosh. You're laughing at a poor person, meaning you're doing mitzvahs and the dead people can't, so you're making fun of them. Because the pasuk says in Tillim, b'meisim chofshi, the dead people are freed from mitzvahs. So, what?
When you go to a tzaddik and you do tehillim, you say barakah.
Yeah, but that's because you're davening for their benefit, for everybody's benefit. But you're not doing mitzvahs. That's what you're doing for them. But if you don't do it, you're not allowed to daven next to graves. You're not allowed to, mincha or shah, whatever. You know, you can't wear tefillin in a cemetery. You have to tuck your tzitzis in. So they cut it because it shouldn't be any, like, laughing at the dead body.
They do that in their old temple.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So what's different? They do it in temple. What? They do davening. They put tefillin. They put everything.
Not by the grave.
So close together.
No, it has to be 4 amos away. Has to be at least 6 feet away. You're not allowed to, you can't. Okay, that's okay. Next. Leisida Eshara Chicho. This is the din. By the way, the Mefarshim explained what was the connection between this parsha of hanging somebody with Ben Seder and Meira. First of all, Ben Seder and Meira would get killed, so the Torah has to tell you what to do with him when he gets killed. Okay, so it says like this, L'sid ha'shor achicha, you're not allowed to see the ox of your brother, or say, or your sheep, nidachim, wandering, that means they're lost, v'salam to mehem, and you would think that you can hide yourself from returning it. The Torah says, Hoshiv teshivim l'achicha, there's a positive mitzvah to return it to your friend. Okay? This is what's called Hashavas Aveda. So even though the mitzvah is given in Parshas Mishpatim, okay, the difference is like this. In Parshas Mishpatim, this is what the Ramban explains. In Parshas Mishpatim, when the Torah was speaking about the original mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, here, over there it says in the pasuk, "Kisivka shorei vilcha." If you, over there, it speaks about your enemy also. If you meet the ox of your enemy or his donkey wandering, hashiv tishivanulei, you have to return it. So the Ramban explains, Over there it was just wandering off the path a little bit, where it's very easy to return it. Here it's speaking where the animal is cast off, meaning it run away, and there's a lot of work to bring it back. So the Torah said, V'salamtamim, you would think that you can hide from it. So the Torah says, Laisira v'alamtam, meaning you're not allowed to see. This is what the way Rashi says the Pasuk means. You're not allowed to see the ox of your brother. V'salamtamim, to hide your face from it. Hashiv teshivim la'achicha. You have to return it. Okay, so there's a mitzvah, it's called Hashavas Avedim. In other words, not only, by the way, is it nice to make sure somebody doesn't lose money, it's a biblical obligation, by the way, of Hashavas Avedah to make sure people don't lose money. Not only, here the Torah is speaking, they lose an article, you have a mitzvah to return it to them. I think even if not, to help a person not lose money is a positive mitzvah in the Torah. It's a biblical mitzvah in the Torah.
Bad advice also the same?
Huh?
Bad advice to somebody who lose money?
That's not this. That's Lefnei Ivel Lisita
Michshol. Not the same.
No, that's before blind men. You can't build stumbling block. Over there, this mitzvah is after the guy lost the money to help him get it back. Over there, you're not allowed to give him bad advice that he should lose the money. That's before and this is after. Okay, now what happens if you don't know who the owner is? So the pasuk says like this. V'imlei karev achicha elecha, if your brother is not near you, or v'lei yadayti, oh, by the way, I forgot one thing in the pasuk. V'salamta mehem, the fact that the Torah uses the word v'salamta mehem, which means sometimes that you could, teaches us, the Gemara says, sometimes you are allowed to hide, meaning not return it. For instance, if you're an old man and it's below your dignity to go schlep around an animal to zokim ve'ina lefi chvedei, or the Gemara says an interesting thing. What happens if you're a kohen and you see the animal lost in a cemetery? Now a kohen can't go in the cemetery, right? So even though normally a positive mitzvah pushes off a negative mitzvah, the negative mitzvahs occurring cannot become tummy. But the positive mitzvah is to return it. Nevertheless, the fact that the Torah uses the word v'salamtam, that you could sometimes hide, meaning under certain circumstances, the person is not obligated to return the lost article. Not because of effort, because that's what this pasuk is teaching us. Okay, so it says like this. If the guy is not close to you, you don't know who it is. You have to take it back into your house. Will be with you until your friend seeks it out for you. And then you have to return it. Now, Rashi asked the obvious question over here. From the Gemara, the pasuk says you should keep it until he asks for it. Well, how can you give it back before he asks for it if you don't know who it is? The pasuk says if you don't know who it is, if you know who it is, give it to them. If you don't know who it is, you bring it home, and then you give it to them when they ask for it. So, like,
they know that. They
well, how would you know? I'll tell you how. How would you know? How can you give it back if you don't know who it is? So obviously, the guy. So it says like this. What does it mean? Dreisha chicha eisei? You have to check him out, make sure he's not a liar.
Make sure he's the real owner.
Make sure he's the real owner. Now, what does this mean? It means like this. If a person has a lost article, I don't want to get into a whole, you can learn the whole Gemara Bava Metzia now, but if somebody loses something, it's still theirs. Just because they don't know where it is doesn't make it theirs, not theirs. So if there's what's called yiyush, if the owner gives up hope, then he removes his ownership from the object. So what the pasuk is saying, adresh achicha eisei, the Gemara says, means like this. If there's a simen on the article, meaning there's something noticeable that the person would be able to identify it, so then when he gives the simen and you make sure he's not lying, so then you know that it's his. And then you have to give it back. What happens if there's no simen? It's cup.
I want the same. Everything the same.
It's all the same. As I lose the cup. So over there, you don't have to return it. Because we assume, when the guy knows, I have no way of identifying it, how in the world will I get it back? And therefore, he gives up hope of ever getting it. So it's speaking that the guy had enough time to know, realize that he lost it, that he realized he lost it, and he can get it back. But Lamasha, I'll give you an example. Money, because money changes hands, even if your name is written on a dollar bill, and somebody finds it, they don't have to give it back to you. Money has no simon. Only if the Gemara talks, if money is bundled in a certain way, you know, a certain amount of money in a certain way, you know, then it's a different story. A guy called me the other day, he found $2,000 cash.
Enjoy it.
Huh? No, but it was in a firm place. It was outside a shul.
Yeah.
So obviously it's
somebody in
Jewish owner. So he told me he should put up a sign that he found money. Not to, you can't say, hey, I found $2,000 because then that guy's going to say, yeah, it's $2,000, right? He said, I found money. If a guy comes and you see he's a religious guy, a guy, and he says, you know, it's $2,000 that I lost, the mitzvah is to give it back.
If not?
If you find money in the street, you're allowed to keep it. There's even a whole question in the Gemara. You know, years ago, the storekeeper sat behind the table. Yeah, and they did the transactions over the table. So it's a din, if you find money on this side of the table, you can assume it fell from one of the people that came into the store, not from the owner. So you could keep it. Because you don't know who the person is. If you find money on this side of the table where the owner sits, then you assume it's his money. I mean, it's, you know. But the Torah says you have to make sure that the guy is honest, and you only have to call up either, like we said, in the weight of it. A guy finds a watch, yeah? So he doesn't say, I found a Rolex watch with the model. So they found the watch. If a guy comes and gives him a description that you see that it's Taka, the guy's watch, then there's a positive mitzvah in the Torah to give it back.
Money and the other things is different. No?
Money, matbeya, the Gemara says, has no simen, even if you have your name on it. Because money changes hands.
Can you charge him for the cost? Like, you feed the animal, can you charge him for the feed?
No. There's a lot of dinim about this, but if you have to take off work, then you get what's called kapel batel, means minimum wage. But there's a very interesting argument. We just mentioned it one of the classes. I remember what it was. The Gemara says like this: if I find your lost article, like a clothing or an animal, I have to watch it. I'm going to call Shem Abed. There it says. Well, you have to bring it to your house and you have to watch it, right? Mm-hmm. Now, am I considered one who pays for it, getting paid to watch, or am I what, it's called a Shay Mechinam. There's a Shay Mechinam and there's a Shay Mechinam. Shay Mechinam means, you do me a favor, you watch something for me. I don't pay you. You do it for free. Then the din is, negligence, you have to pay. Stolen or lost, and you could prove that it was stolen or lost, you don't have to pay. Accident, definitely you don't have to pay. What happens if I pay you to watch it?
Yeah.
So then, if it's stolen or lost, you have to pay? Because you're getting paid, you have a greater responsibility. So there's a very famous argument in the sixth parak of Bava Kamma between Rabbi and Rav Yosef. If somebody finds something in the street and is guarding it, are they a paid watchman? Or are they
free?
So logically, you say he's free. He's not getting paid. I'm not getting paid. I'm doing a mitzvah, but I'm not getting paid. That's what Rabbi holds. Rav Yosef says, no. He's a Shomer Sachar. Oh. Why? Listen to this. Because while he's taking care of the animal, feeding the animal or the clothing, there's a whole Gemara discussing if you find somebody's clothing, you have to air it out once every 30 days. If it's an animal, you have to feed, you have to take care of it. Mamish, that it shouldn't get ruined. You have an obligation, just like it's yours. You would air it out and you take care of it. Somebody, you have to watch it. So he says, while you're doing that, if a poor man comes and asks you for tzedakah, you don't have to give it to him. Why? Oseg b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. If you're doing one mitzvah and you can't do both, you're freed from doing another mitzvah. So Rav Yosef says like this, because if a poor man would come to you, you would save the penny that you don't have to give him, so you're getting paid. That's what he holds. It's an argument in the Rishonim, you pass it. Rabbi, Rav Yosef, Aloch is, by the way, you're a Shomer Sachar.
Responsible.
Because you, because in case somebody would come to you, ask for money, you wouldn't have to give it to him.
So you have to pay him. If I give it back, you have to pay them something. If that's in case.
You have to give it back. But
you have to pay.
In other words, if it doesn't have a simen, meaning there's no identification, no way of knowing, you can keep it right away. Because the guy gave up hope right away. As soon as he realized he lost it, he knows he's not going to get it back because there's no identification. How is anybody supposed to know it is? If it has a simon, then all the smiths apply. You have to take it home, you have to take care of the animal.
After they come back to get it.
The Gemara tells a story. A guy once came to somebody, in the time of the Gemara, he gave him, and he brought him a chicken to watch. And the guy forgot about it. A few years later, he came back. He said, oh, by the way, you remember I gave you a chicken to watch? He said, yeah, come. He took him outside, and he showed him a whole herd of cattle, a whole many, many cattle. He said, this is yours. He said, one minute. I gave you a chicken. I didn't give you... He said, you don't understand. When you gave it to me to watch, I had to take care of it. The chicken laid eggs. The eggs became chickens. They laid eggs. Became more chickens. It became so many chickens, I sold the chickens for animals. And then the animals gave birth. And then again... So he said, because I took care of your thing, all these animals came from that one chicken. Because the eggs, and the egg became chickens, and the chicken became... So you took care of it the proper way of doing it.
So you came back home.
But there's another issue over here. How does it relevant to us? Okay? God gives us the neshama to watch. And the neshama, our life, God gives us to watch. And we have to take care of it. We have to give it back, at least as in good shape, as when we got it. I'm not talking about physically get older. But I'm saying the neshama is a shema aveda, and we have an obligation to watch it, to make sure that it doesn't get ruined.
You pay us?
Huh?
Did God pay us to keep it?
Yeah, because when we do a mitzvah, we get a lot.
Gan Eden, no?
But Bechlau, you should know, there was a area outside Yerushalayim. What was it? We just had the Mishnah in Tainus. I forgot what it's called. The Evan. I forgot what it is. And the Mishnah says what it is, what it's called. Gemara says, whoever lost things would go to that place. And whoever found things would bring them to that place. They came three times a year.
You said it in
the Mishnah. Pesach, Shavuot, huh?
It was a rock?
Yeah, it's a rock. Yeah. And Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, all the Jews came to the base of Mikdash.
And they lose something.
So then you'd have to make the shidduch between the lost and found. It was called today lost and found. But the Gemara tells about after three times, when you announced it already and you assumed that everybody came to the base of Mikdash in one of those three times, or all three times they had to come, so then you don't have to keep it anymore. Then you could keep it because there's nothing you could do. Okay. Then the Torah says, no, still Pasuk Gimel. V'chein tassel l'chamerei, so you should do to his donkey. V'chein tassel l'simlosi, that you should do to his garment. V'chein tassel l'chol aveda sachicha, and so you have to do to all the lost articles of your brother, asher teved mimenu umetzasa, that would be lost from him, and you will find it. Le'isucha l'salim, you cannot hide yourself. And here's another interesting din the Gemara learns out from this Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Asher Teivad Mimenu, which is lost from him. What happens, the Gemara says, if it's lost from everybody? The Gemara gives an example. A river comes and floods the field. And just, you know, and takes everything with it. It's not only lost from the person, it's lost from everybody. So then you're allowed to keep it. Whoever finds it could keep it. Because the Torah says, you have to do this to which is lost from Mimenu, from him. Meaning, if it's only lost from him, but from nobody else, then you have to call it out. But if it's lost from everybody, then you can't.
You cannot keep it?
Right.
So you don't need to own it.
If it's lost from everybody, then you could keep it. Here he says a very interesting thing. This mitzvah, by the way, is not only, how much more so, it's a remarkable concept of kiruv. If you have to give back a lost article of a person, so how much more so if the person himself is lost? If the person's lost, you know, wandering Jews, they're lost Jews, like they call them. So if you have a positive mitzvah in the Torah, and the Torah says you cannot hide yourself from it, you have an obligation to take it into your house and get the owner and everything. So he says, how much more so? He brings down, even the Ma'am Leah says, that chaveira teyeh, if the person is lost in spiritual way, then you have an obligation to bring them back.
How about mentally?
Huh?
About mentally.
Same thing mentally, physically, everything. Now the Mepharshim said, it is all from the Gemara, by the way. Why does the Torah use all these things? Torah starts off with ox and sheep, and then the Torah says, you should do the same thing to his donkey, should do the same thing to his clothing, and then the Torah, like, why does the Torah keep adding names? So he says like this, I would think a chamor is a non-kosher animal. You can't bring it on the Mizbech, you can't bring it as a korban. Okay? So I would think, you're not obligated to return. It's a treif animal anyway. Who cares? And wear clothing. So I would think I would don't have to, if I find somebody's lost clothing, I don't have to return it. Why? Male an animal ran out. You can't blame the owner completely. The animal ran away. But clothing, why wasn't the owner careful? He wasn't careful, so I have to be careful and return it to him. Why? So the Torah says, no, even the simile you have to return. Everything. Any, whatever type of thing it is, you have to return it.
This is started with the smallest thing, then go to a human being, huh?
Right. There's an interesting story. This is a very famous story, by the way. As you bring it down from Yerushalmi. It's a very famous story. It says, Reb Shmuel Bar Sutrai, whatever his name, he went up to Rome. And at that time, the queen lost a very expensive jewelry piece. And the queen announced like this. And this Reb Shmuel found it. Listen to this. And the queen announced, whoever finds it within 30 days will get a tremendous reward. After 30 days, I'm going to chop off your head. This is what she said. She wanted to make sure to get it back. She said, whoever returns in 30 days will get rewarded. If not, they kill you. Reb Shmuel, who found it right away, waited, and he brought it back after 30 days. Dafke, after 30 days. So the queen said like this, I don't understand you. If you weren't in the country, and you didn't hear my announcement, okay. But now, you found it all the way at the beginning. Why didn't you return it right away? He says like this, I was in the country, I heard the announcement. So she said, so why didn't you return it within 30 days? He says, because I didn't want you to think that I returned it to get the reward. That's why I did it, because I'm afraid of you. He said, you know, I returned it because God said I need to return it. And she ended up giving a bad reward. I mean, a big reward. See, Dafka gave it back when he was even maybe gotten killed from it, but he wanted to return it to Dafka to show that he's doing it because Hashem gave the mitzvah to do it.
Interesting. So what do you mean here,
Din? Now the Gemara also says another din. What happens? You called it out and the owner still doesn't come? You have to leave it until Eliyahu Navi comes. Huh? You called it out and the guy still didn't come.
So, after, there's a limited time?
You know,
this
is very practical today. A lot of times people go places, they come to a show, and they leave a jacket, everybody in a sweater, a scarf, whatever, they leave something in the show. Or somebody comes to somebody's party, yeah?
They leave something.
I know, in my house after the bris, I found a whole bunch of stuff. I thought it was one guy's ass, just not his. I don't know. So, like, what do you do? So if it's something that has a simon, you have to keep it until Eliyahu Navi comes. That's it. But halacha says like this. What happens if it's going to cost you more to take care of the animal than the animal itself? Let's say you found this donkey, whatever. And the donkey's worth $100, but the upkeeper for years is going to be $1,000. So the halacha says when it gets to that point, you sell the animal for money, and you keep the money until the guy comes. Okay, let's start the next thing over here. There's also another very important thing that's very practical today. Leisira es chamer achicha, you're not allowed to see the donkey of your brother. Falling under their burden. And you would think that you could again hide yourself from them. You have to stand them up with him. In other words, it says you have to there's two dinim over here. There's hakim takim or neflim baderech. Meaning like this. If the donkey is struggling under its load, you have a mitzvah to help him unload the donkey. Hakim takimime means you should put it back up. Meaning, what happens if all the goods fell down off the donkey? You have a mitzvah to help him put it back. But here the Torah adds a very interesting word. It says, Hakim takimime, with him. So Rashi says from the Gemara, this is the Allah of the Gemara says, what happens if the owner says, listen, I'm going to sit down. You have a mitzvah to load my animal? That's what the book says. You have a mitzvah to load the animal? You load it. I'm not going to help you. So the Torah says, no. Hakim takim imai. With him. Means if he's helping you, you do it. If he's not willing to help you, then halachically you don't have to do it.
Interesting.
But then again, this is another concept of a mitzvah, a pashut, helping out another Jew. And you have the mitzvah to inam, prika, loading it on the mitzvahs, and unloading the mitzvahs, I mean the mitzvahs. It's a mitzvah to help unload and unload. Another interesting thing, the Gemara learns out from this pasuk like this. If the animal is overloaded, and he needs help to unload the animal, you have to do it for free. If he wants help to load the animal, you can charge a minimal wage. Called Kapel Sechar Bottle. It means you could charge him, Kapel Bottle.
The first one they do it for animal, the second time they do it for the owner. And loading, you do it for the...
So the Gemara says, because the animal is suffering from the load, the Tzar Balei Chaim, which according to the Aloch, it's an argument in the Gemara, but the halacha of Tzar Balei Chaim is forbidden biblically, so then you have a positive mitzvah to help him without getting paid. But if he wants help to load, so like, you know, if the animal's not in pain, you need help, so then I could charge you minimum wage. Now, the fact that it says, Hawking, oh, by the way, same thing before. It says in the Pasi before, Hashef Teshivem La'achicha. Return, return. Double expression. Here it says, Hakim Takim Mime. Why did Torah say it twice? It's an interesting halacha. What happens? The animal keeps running away. So the guy says, all right, enough already. Hakim Hashif Teshiva means even 100 times. 100 doesn't mean only 100. Hashif Teshiva, the Torah keeps repeating it, meaning no matter how many times it runs away, gets lost, you have to help him. Hakim Takim Mime is the same thing, the Gemara says. No matter how many times the guy does it, loads, overloads the animal, whatever, you still have a mitzvah of doing it. And that's why the Torah says, Hakim Takim, the double expression. Now, the Mepharshim explained also, it's interesting, in the other Pasuk, by lost article, just finish with this, it says first Shard and then Chamor. Here, the Torah says, Chamor Achicha Oishayrei. Why first Chamor and Shard? Mepharshim explained very simple. You load up a donkey, not an ox. In old times, the donkeys were the one that Chamor Lamasoi. So therefore, the Torah says, the most common is Chamor. If it's not Chamor, if it's Shard, it's the same thing. But as far as other things, the Shard runs away more than the Chamor.